This is Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie. And we have Michael Toberman with us from NASA.
NASA. All right.
We love you guys. And we're talking about electrified powertrain flight demonstration project, which is a big phrase for basically
electric model airplane.
Not model. Electric airplane. So why is there such a big push on electric airplanes right now?
So we're part of the program, the Sustainable Flight National Partnership, and that's really a goal to have net zero by 2050. So as part of that, we're trying to do different innovative things to reduce the carbon emissions, carbon output. And one of them could be like sustainable aviation fuel, but that's not us. We're really focused on battery electric, adding that to a hybrid system. So having both gas turbine with electric battery, electric motor and battery, and put that system on an aircraft and get it to flight. And what we're really looking at is like the 30 to 70 passenger aircraft and then also the 170 passenger single aisle aircraft. Get those in the market within the 2030 to 2035 timeframe with a hybrid electric system and get some reduced carbon emissions. And then for that project, we've partnered with MagniX and General Electric, and both of them have their own aircraft, and we're helping them get those aircraft to flight in the next 5 years or so.
You said 50 to 70
passenger? Yeah, this is not a small airplane.
Not a small airplane.
Yeah, the goal is really to get a pretty large aircraft in the air with hybrid electric system. That's why we're working with GE, who's actually partnered with Boeing, to put this system on an aircraft. They're looking at a Saab 340, which they actually have. Boeing is working as the primary integrator for that aircraft.
Now, I was over in the NASA building the other day, and I saw this monstrous electric motor.
Yep.
And the thing that struck me is it's in one package. It looks like you've got four different sets of windings.
Yes.
Essentially, four different motors.
Right, and it's a modular system, so you can sort of stack them up. And,
okay.
And that motor that you saw there was actually a 900-horsepower motor, and that's actually flown on five different aircraft so far.
Wow.
So MagniX has that as a product, and they're working on certification. That's another big part of our project, is getting that certification through. So we have former FAA members working on panels with the FAA to get certified components.
Now, I would think one of the big issues, obviously battery technology, but battery safety. I mean, we've seen that you're not supposed to bring lithium batteries on airplanes, and now we're going to build them in. So
yeah. Well, you've seen, like, the Boeing 787 has a lithium-ion battery in it, and initially that had some challenges, but they've overcome that. And so we can, you know, do the same thing with the battery technology.
Okay.
It just seems to me that you're going to require not only one hellacious battery.
That's a technical term.
That is hellacious.
Right.
But the other thing is you're going to be relying on the next generation of batteries as well, because the energy density of even the best batteries these days can't compare to the energy density of, say,
of fuel.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that's why right now we're sort of focused on the shorter range regional aircraft and turboprop aircraft that have like the 200 nautical mile range. In fact, MagniX has worked with a company called Harbor Air, which does just really short island hops, and they've sort of proven that that's a viable business model.
Okay, so what is the philosophy here? We're going to use electric for added takeoff power and then cut back to turbine for cruise?
I think they would use it for cruise also, and that's part of our project. So when we start flying, we're going to sort of see where the optimal performance areas are.
And I guess that depends on every flight, loading, distance, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. I mean, I think we're sort of within a 200 nautical mile range flight, we're looking at maybe a 40% fuel savings.
Okay. I mean, when you think about it, the electric technology is proven.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Batteries will make it better. But the motors, everything, that's known factor. So now you're just trying to figure out how to make this work
optimize
the best.
It within that flight regime.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
What kind of gas turbines are you talking about?
Well, so for our project, we have the Saab 340 for GE, which they're going to work on adding a hybrid electric system on that aircraft, and that'll have The right side will have one nacelle with the gas turbine, the original gas turbine engine with the their GE electric motor, and then there'll be a combining gearbox to combine those two. For the Magni X project, it's using a de Havilland Dash 7, which is a 50-passenger airplane, and that's a four-engine airplane. So the goal is to have the two outboards with electric motors and then keep the standard PT6 inboard engines.
Okay, so there's not a lot of technology development required there. It's just combining everything and figuring it out.
Yep, right.
Interesting.
So now, talking about some pretty significant systems integration here, because you're talking two completely different
systems.
Propulsion systems.
Yeah, no, that's true. It'll be a challenge, and that's one of the things that, you know, we're working with these partners to sort of help them along to accelerate this, because, you know, we also have, like, the NASA has a NEAT facility, which is a electric aircraft engine propulsion system test facility that actually can test these systems at altitude. So that really gives them a bonus in helping them prove their systems, because, you know, things change at altitude with high voltage systems. These are all 800 volt systems.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot of voltage.
Yes, it is. Will you be using something like auto feathering props to reduce drag if you're not running the electric, or if you are not running the gas turbine, to try and minimize your drag?
I don't think that's really part of it. I think we're going to throttle back as necessary to just maintain speed.
All right, but you won't actually shut down the gas turbine or cut off the electric.
That's not the plan. No.
Okay, not yet.
Yeah.
That down the road, who
maybe
knows?
Yeah, I mean, as we start flying them, you know, we're going to sort of see where things work best. And one of the goals is to be at Oshkosh here in the next couple of years.
Oh, so, yeah, I want to see that.
Absolutely.
It'd be interesting to see a large electric fly.
It would. And the thing that things that concerns me is the size of the battery and where are you going to put it?
Yeah, I mean,
on the ground. It'll be a big extension cord.
Right.
200-mile extension cord. That'll work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the batteries are going to be big, and for these first airplanes, it's probably going to take up all of the cabin. So the batteries will be in the cabin, the engines will be out on the nacelle.
So many, many unanswered questions. Will you be able to recharge batteries in flight?
No, that's probably not part of the plan.
Okay.
I think we'll just do all that on the ground.
Yeah, we've been talking to various manufacturers, and one of them, which is a hybrid, did have the capability of recharging batteries while in flight.
Mm-hmm. They're using a different system, though, mechanically.
Yeah. Okay.
You're sticking with a standard turbine engine already connected to a propeller. They're running through gearboxes and shafts and all
clutches.
Sorts of things.
Yeah, I think you'll have some efficiency losses if you take the gas turbine and charge the battery and then have that on the electric motor. So,
well, that's the other philosophy is you could tune that engine to run 1 RPM all the time
and get
the maximum efficiency out of it.
But, I mean, yeah, you think about a diesel train is just a diesel engine powering an electric motor.
So yep, generator, powering a bunch of electric motors.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway. You may change your direction once you've got some experience. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
And who knows what new advancements are about to pop out on the next generation.
And battery development. I mean, I think the energy density is going to start to have to improve.
It is, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done miracles. I've flown radio control for years.
Yeah.
NiCads versus the new lithium polymer batteries we got now. Mm-hmm. It's a world of difference. It's night and day.
Yeah, no, it's great, and it's always improving. So,
yeah, it's a moving target. Timeline for getting these things flying, do you have one?
Both of the companies have the airplanes. One of the airplanes, the Dash 7, is in Yellowknife, Canada right now, getting overhauled. It's going to be in Washington later this summer, and then they'll do some baseline flights, and then they'll start integrating the hybrid electric system. That'll take a couple of years before we get that all installed and flying.
Okay, you're doing it in Yellowknife because you want to do extreme low temperature testing too?
No, we're working with one of our other partners is Air Tindy, who's the biggest Dash 7 operator, and we're actually getting that airplane from them.
So. Okay. And as you said, battery's probably going to take up most of the thing, so it's going to be a long time before you put extra people on board.
People on that, yeah, right.
Yeah, darn.
Do you have a battery contractor online with you now, or are you still looking for batteries?
Rayovac.
Yeah, for GE, actually, they've already partnered with BAE. So BAE has a facility in upstate New York where they build bus batteries, and they have years of experience with batteries. They've never had any problems with their batteries as far as fires or anything like that. So that's real promising, and we've already started doing a lot of the testing on those batteries.
Yeah, I think their biggest hurdle is going to be keeping the weight down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bus, they don't really care so much.
No, that's true. They've actually transitioned to a different format for the aircraft application.
Right.
See, that's one of the parts about the electric system that I think a lot of people are overlooking. You know, they say, yes, we've got a motor, we've got a big battery. But what they don't understand is their speed controllers, computerized equipment, and the heavy cabling that needs to go from the battery to get that power to that motor.
Yeah.
That's going to be a significant modification to the aircraft, not to mention additional weight as well.
And actually, so it's interesting. I've been to the NEAT facility at NASA's Glenn in Ohio, and they've actually tried different techniques, like instead of copper cables, aluminum cables is an option. I mean, that's a viable option. It's much lighter. Even there's other proprietary
options. Well, you also keep the controller mounted right up against the motor, so you minimize that length of heavy wiring.
Right. And like I said, MagniX has flown this already. That motor that you saw at the NASA booth has flown like on 5 different aircraft.
Oh, it looks brand new.
So, yeah. Well, not that exact one, but
that design.
Ones like that. Yeah, that design. So, they float the De Havilland Beaver. They've flown it on that.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting.
You know, one thing that I thought was very interesting is that this brand new technological marvel, shiny wires, and it's got an old-fashioned prop governor on the front of it. Like, oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, and Hartzell's actually involved, and they're very interested in this technology also and helping MagniX with that.
Why not?
Yep.
So where can we go to see this marvel? I mean, here on the field.
So at the NASA Pavilion, as you first enter the facility, there's a big MagniX motor there. And then next to that is a little monitor showing the GE aircraft and how that power system works.
All right, very good. We've been speaking with Michael Toberman from NASA. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, all charged up at EAA Radio.